Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 327, part 1. Happy! Today is Friday, January 17th, 2014. Happy birthday, Michelle and Keith.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tape is entitled Happy. 1 Kings 10 and 8, and you can get this tape so you don't have to take notes, you listening on the radio. 1 Kings 10 and 8, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, workers, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Okay, Job 5 and 17. Behold, take a look. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thy chastening of the Almighty. Praise God, paraphrase now, for your lumps. They are love lumps. So take your lumps. Psalm 127, 4 and 5. As thy arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of thy youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Well, he's saying that your children carry on your name. Isn't that great? They're saying that they are your heritage. They are your joy. Well, they don't always make you happy. But then that's God's business. Also, we will see them again on that roll. Isn't that exciting? Psalm 128 and 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. And listen to this. Happy, and that's the name of our tape, thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Now, what's that saying? It's saying that God is the God of laborers. God is the God of, in other words, workers. Now, he supplies all the seed, don't you see? But you see, in order for us to see anything from it, we have to throw it in the ground. We have to cultivate. We have to harvest. We have to bring it in. Now, if God is going to do it all for us, and that's the kind of message you've been hearing for a while over the last few years, it's nonsense. God gives you the workings and God gives you the fixings, but we must work the fix to be happy. Would you be happy if everything was given to you? And I'll tell you right now, you wouldn't be happy. But if God gives you the fixings, he gives you the tools, he gives you the whatever it takes to get it done, and you put that to work, he says, here it is, here's the raw materials. You put it together, and you're going to be happy. That's just like right here. You have the rice, you have the beans, you have the bread, you have all these things. You're going to sit on them, or are you going to put them together? Happy is the man that labors for the Lord. Do you think he'd be happy if you didn't have to do anything at home at all? And you would, huh? How long do you think he'd be happy? Do you think he'd be happy? You're in a spelling bee right now, and you never studied. Would you be happy if you got up there and they asked you to spell it, and you didn't know how to spell it? Well, why are you happy? Because you worked at learning how to spell. Is that right? Now when you go up there, you're going to feel a little better about yourself because you're going to be able to spell it. Now what if you got up there and they said, okay, it, and you couldn't spell it? Would you be happy? Well, think about it. You think about it. Whenever there's nothing to do, you're going to be miserable. Maybe some of the other people that are looking at you say, boy, I wish I could spell like that. Do you wish you could spell like that? You? Do you? You don't wish you could spell like that? Yeah, you do. Well, then go for it. See, you have to think before you open up your mouth, don't you? If there was nothing to do, would you be happy? Do you think a farmer would be happy if he had nothing to do but sit and watch it come up? No. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Never overlook it, saying the temporal blessings. It's warm in here tonight. Hallelujah! We got lights in here tonight. Hallelujah! Oh, it doesn't seem like much. But you be in here when it's cold, brothers and sisters, or there's no lights. Hallelujah! Temporal blessings. Are you breathing all right tonight, brother? In and out, in and out, in and out. And your heart, everything's in good shape, right? Happy. Temporal things. Oh, maybe you didn't even think of that. Maybe you think, well, I have nothing to praise God about. I have nothing to praise the Lord about. You go, one time we took some kids, and this was in a church in the suburbs. We took some kids out. And, have you got something to be happy about? No, no. And the whole class, about 50 of them. And we took them out here to Cambridge to the children's hospital where the kids couldn't move, some of them. Some of them had tubes in their necks. Some of them were deaf. Some were blind. Some were paraplegics. A lot of them were mentals. And I said, now, do you have something to be happy about? And all the way back home, they all were praising God, says, yes, we have something to be happy about. You understand what I'm talking about here tonight? Something to be happy about. But you overlook those things, don't we? You overlook your mother, you overlook your father, you overlook those things. A lot of times you do. Get mad at them. You won't do your room, you won't do this, you won't do that. I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. I know, I hear you on the phone. You shake your head all you want to. I hear you on the phone all the time. Fighting and carrying on. Say amen, somebody. Come on now, learn something here tonight. Each one of us, learn something here tonight. We overlook those things. We overlook our folks. We overlook them. Man, they had to change your dirty diapers. You listening on the radio? Overlook your friends. How about friends? Isn't it nice to have some friends? Hey, I'm praising God for my friends. A lot of the so-called ones have long gone, friends. They have skedaddled. The ones that are left, woo, do I cherish them? Do I praise God for those friends? And they're all in here tonight. Some of you are listening on the radio. I praise God for you. You keep sending checks in and you're helping out this little mission down here. Little in number, great in power. I praise God for it. Oh, you could overlook those things and be down at the mouth and say, oh, I have nothing to praise God about. You got your friends to praise God about. You got your parents to praise God about. You got your children to praise God about. You got your car. You got your house. You got your heat. You got your sanity. How'd you like to be walking around insane right now? They won't even let you into an Anoka. They close that up for the most part. A guy came in the other day, was left out of the mental wards, and came in. He says, I praise God for this place. It's so cold outside. Ran up for the coffee and donuts before we ate dinner. Maybe you take the mission for granted. There's a lot of people praising God for this mission. And why are they praising God? They don't have nothing else. You're never going to be fully happy, folks, until you appreciate the very obvious. That's what's right next to you. So obvious. You ever had a backache? How many of you have had a backache where you can hardly move? You got a backache? How many don't have a backache tonight? Doesn't that feel good not to have that backache? Oh, hallelujah, I don't have a backache. I know, I wore a brace for years. Praise God, I don't have to wear that brace anymore. Whew. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is the tried believer, the wrestler of God. Happy is the one that went through tribulation, went through that 7 years of work. Happy is that man. When others aren't happy, he's happy. He's capable. He's capable of almost anything because his happiness doesn't depend on people, hallelujah, although they help. His happiness isn't dependent upon the situation, glory to God, so he's capable. Happy is that man. Happy is that child. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? Glory to God. In Proverbs 3 and 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. And you're only going to get that from God. The only way you're going to get it is by trying yourself out. Proverbs 14 and 21, he that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy upon the poor, happy is he. Why are there so many unhappy people? They have no mercy upon the poor. Now, I see people come in here. Man was sitting here the other day, and I thought, God, man, what if I was in this situation? Here he had this little baby, had three or four pairs of socks on, no shoes. A little dirty little blanket wrapped around. I suppose they couldn't afford to go to the laundromat. Did you ever think of it that way? You got to put in four quarters now, and you got to get the soap now, and then you got to put them in the dryer now. And then you got to have some way of getting them there now, and some way of getting them back now. And maybe you don't have a dresser drawer to put them in now. And I looked at him and I thought, my God. And I went over and I said, how's this little one doing? I could see the little one was a little sick, you know, little eyes, a little matter around the eyes. Not feeling too good today. But he says, he's sure watching you. And I thought, uh-huh. That's the Lord peeking through them eyes. I'm going to get on the ball, but quick. Did you know that? Did you know that? That the Lord is looking right through that little one that's suffering. Sick. Aren't you happy now that you got your mom and your dad and you got everything going for you? Have you got shoes on? Glory to God, you got boots on. Oh, hallelujah. Happy. Yeah, the Lord looking right through them eyes. Where were you when I didn't have no little shoes? And I was sick and a hungered. Well, I was at a high praise meeting. And we were praising you. Don't you remember, Lord? We felt the witness of the Spirit all over us. Well, are you against that? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You praise God with your works, or you don't praise Him at all. You know, you praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from me, he says. Proverbs 16 and 20 then. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 28 and 14, happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. When you harden your heart and you walk by those wonderful opportunities to do good, if you don't do good, evil will enter in, friend. Evil will enter in and you'll harden your heart and you'll fall into mischief. Romans 14 and 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Don't be walking around, I have all faith. I can move a mountain, I can do this. No. Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Is there something, friend, and you're listening on the radio that you've done and you don't know why you've done it, but you just went ahead with it and everybody was against you and you allowed it to happen and you did it because you were witnessing in your spirit you must do it? Well, then be happy. Be happy. I see on TV here now where Gary Hart is running again. Well, hooray. Hooray. I like that. Forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. Forget those things. Forget those evil questions, the Bible says. Bible calls them evil questions. Now, I'm not so concerned about... Now, listen, if I had somebody fixing my car... And I gave them a character check. No, I can't have you fix my car because, see, you have this and that against you. And I can't have you mechanic my car, don't you see, sir, because, no, your character isn't. And so you have somebody that has a good character, doesn't know a thing about cars, fix your car. You check out everybody's character when you go to the grocery store and you get your fruit and vegetables and meat? No, you want a butcher that knows what he's doing. That's what you're paying him for. Huh? You want to check out every teacher and find out? Now, you must have a good teacher. Well, no, I am. No, don't do it. No, you must have a good teacher, right? Yeah, that's more like it. Now the parent goes, no, I'm sorry, you can't teach our children. You're not for a women's lib, and you're not for this, and you're not for the equal opportunities, and so on and so on. Hey, if that kid is learning, I'm not going to check it out too close. Say amen, somebody. What are you paying them for? To teach. What are you paying the mechanic for? To mechanic. Yeah, right? Well, then we'll go a little deeper here. Judge not. That means don't dig too deep and start to find something to find fault with. I'd have to say Gary Hart has a lot of guts. G-U-T-Z's. Is that the way you spell it? Praise God for your teacher, then. Did you ever hear that song? It's not of the Lord. The Age of Aquarius? Don't panic. Oh, the age of a criticize, the age of a criticize, a criticize. Do you realize what a stench that is in God's nostrils when there's all kinds of things to do and we're in the age of a criticize? James 5 and 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. When you endure, aren't you happy? You start a job out, and you say, well, it's so late now. I started today, I was down there, I thought, no, we're way ahead now, we'll just kind of slack off. I said, no, we're going to clear out this area. I said, self, take the dolly and pull them things out of there. And then Jim came along, we pulled the things out of there. Self, line up some bags there. And I endured until I could endure no longer, and I was happy. Would I have been happy if I'd say, no, I think I'll wait till tomorrow? Well, then you put it off, and then you wait till the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Brothers and sisters, you got a problem. Happy is the man that endures. Why? It pays off. Right? Well, not so as I'd notice. I mean, you know, I've been in real estate and I've been enduring a long time. I'm tired of enduring, right? And I just use you, Paul. Endure a little longer. Endure until they decide that we got to make more money and we got to get this thing rolling again. And we'll lower the rate and we'll push this in, we'll push that in. It's coming. Everything goes around, comes around. I see where we're going to put another $150 billion, or I don't know. See, when you deal with peanuts like I do, it's hard to fathom what they're going to spend down in Brazil again. They just lost all this money down there. And now they're going to give them another big boost. Why? Because something's going to happen down in Brazil. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. They got an awful lot of everything in Brazil. But now is the time to bring it out of there. Did you ever wonder about that? It's getting ready for a go-around. Oh, why? You got to learn how to endure. Right? Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. 1 Peter 3 and 14. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. 1 Peter 4 and 14. If ye be approached for the name of Christ, someone approaches you. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God that resteth upon you. Guess when somebody comes and lays a hurt on you, when you're doing the Lord's work, don't faint. I'll tell you why. Because the Spirit of glory and of God resting is resting upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. And somebody gives you a hard time, you're in the Lord's work. Well, in the first place, that's mighty, mighty dangerous. But don't worry about it, because the Spirit of the Lord is resting on you. I wouldn't want to tangle with anything like that, would you? One time I told a person, I said, now just suppose that God did love Pastor Paul. Just suppose he did. Maybe you're right and he doesn't. This is a real heavy legalist. But suppose that God would somehow find enough mercy and grace and forgiveness and love for nasty old Pastor Paul. Would you say that you were in trouble for all that you said to me on the telephone? Well, it's silent right now, isn't it? That's exactly what happened on the telephone. Suppose you're wrong, sir. Well, the silence was broken. But Jesus in me loves you. Well, that's all I want out of you anyway. Bye. There's no other good thing there, sir. Why do you say, Jesus in me loves you? That's all I want. Ever have anybody say that to you? Jesus in me loves you. That's all I want out of you. I don't want the rest of you, that's for sure. I wouldn't trust it. Don't trust the flesh. The Bible tells us that. Woo! And so tonight, hallelujah, let's put ourselves on a road to happiness. You listening on the radio. I have talked to a lot of rich and famous people in my day, and I have talked to a lot of them, and there's most of them that have never had 24 hours of total happiness. Total bliss. They've had wealth. They've had fame. They've had honors. They've had power. They've had influence. They have had prosperity. They have had triumph. But see, those are terrible, terrible burdens. If they're not put to work for the Lord, and you're never going to be happy with them for a full 24-hour stretch. Not one full day of rest and peace and happiness has any of them had. You know, because I believe happiness really, folks, is the greatest paradox of nature. It can grow in any kind of soil. You can be in jail and be happy. You can be in boys' schools and be happy. You can be down and out and be happy. It lives under any conditions. Any conditions. Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. It defies, in other words, all environment. I can remember being so poor during hard times, and my dad had lost his businesses, and then we went on through the 30s. I was born in 32, so I remember probably, from 4 years old on. I can speak from that. With nothing being having. By harmonizing with my mother and my brother and my sister, my younger sister wasn't born yet, harmonizing and singing and making do with nothing. I can remember being happy sharing an orange for dinner. An orange. Does eating a lot make you happy? You get done, you say, God, I wish I wouldn't have ate all that. What did I do that for? Oh, I feel miserable. I feel like puking now. Well, that's what people say. Did you ever eat until you felt like puking? Oh, that isn't a very good word to use, but it's the truth, isn't it? Is it? So did that make you happy? No, it's an inward thing. It's an inward thing. Oh, hallelujah. See, it comes from within. It's a revelation from the very depths of the inner life. As I believe, like heat and light proclaim the sun from which they radiate. See, it consists happiness of not having, but being. Being. Being happy. Not having things. It consists of being. Well, if I had that, I'd be happy. And if I had this, I'd be happy. Would you? No, it's something from the very most inner part of your being. Isn't it? How many said, if I only had this, I'd be happy? Well, what happened after you got it? Didn't make you happy. See, it's not of possessing, but of enjoying. What good is your little red wagon, little ones listening on the radio, you sitting here tonight, if it's all sitting over there and it's never used? You enjoy it. What good is it to have a mission if you don't enjoy that mission? Then you have a mission, you have, oh, come in and look at our food shelf. We have everything stacked up there. My motto is, empty shelves make me happy. And we fill them up again, and we empty them again. You'll never enjoy it until you use it. Isn't that right? Why do you enjoy your motorcycle? Because you use it. You ever seen somebody that doesn't use their motorcycle and use their things, and they shine them up and they just sort of sit on them and they're afraid somebody might put an owie or a scratch on them? Do they enjoy them? No, they don't enjoy them. They're miserable with them. It's like having a whole lot of antique cars. You spend millions of dollars on them and you're afraid some kid might come up with a licorice stick and put a mark on it. Are you hearing this? No, I'd be driving that thing right down the road. Make other people happy with it. See, that's the problem. We got a whole lot, and we're not using what we have, so we're not happy. You got brains, you got a heart, you got hands and arms, you got all going for you. If you don't use them, you aren't going to be happy. The body not used isn't happy. What do you want to do? And it's sort of, I don't know, what do you want to do? It's just sort of limp. The only time you really, really enjoy a brand new car is when you take it down and you wash it the first time. It's like having a friend. You want to really enjoy that friend. Give him some attention. It's the warm glow of a heart at peace with itself. And maybe you might have to go contrary to what people want you to do. Oh, but you're happy when you got that warm glow in your heart that you know that you've made the decision that's right for you. For you. The warm glow in your heart of having a peace of mind and peace of heart that you made that decision that was right for you. Something you could live with. I mean, actually, take time, folks, to smell the roses along the way. Even a martyr at the stake, I think they have more happiness. Maybe than a king on a throne. Because they have that peace of mind, that knowing of doing right. And by the way, you are the creators of your own happiness. I can't create happiness for anybody. Can you? Let's see. Let's make the kids happy. So you have Christmas. That will make them happy. And they're shaking you. If you have Christmas morning, they're in there banging on you, shaking on you. Come on, come on. We're unhappy because you won't get out of bed. Mommy, Daddy, come on, get out of bed. Come on, get up! Huh? Okay, and you open the presents. And you get all done opening the presents up. And what do? You fight over the wrappings and the boxes so you can get inside and make little forts out of them. Make you happy. Right? It makes you happy doing for somebody else. Really, sometimes you should take these toys and give them away to someone else. Oh, I rode it around the block once. And you think about it. Should I give it to someone that doesn't have one? I got two bikes now. And you call up. Guess what? I got a surprise for you. And you give them your bike. Well, it doesn't sound like it'd make you happy. But let me tell you something. You get up the next morning, God's worked a wonder in your heart, and you are happier than you've ever been in your whole life because you gave up that which was so important to you, but really wasn't. Oh, America, learn how to give and give up and give out. Yeah, it's the aroma of life lived in harmony with God's true virtues. Because what a man has, folks, he may be dependent on others for, and what he is rests on him alone. You're responsible for what you are. See, that's happiness. It's the soul's joy in the possession of the intangible. Not material, but the spiritual end of it. You can't buy it. It's something you can't put your finger on. Can you put your finger on happiness? I have a man I deeply respect. And every time I see him, he comes in the morning. And he makes my whole day, just by the way he talks. Morning, Pastor. That's the way he says, good morning, Pastor. It just makes me laugh. Morning, Pastor. Makes me happy right now. And so I wait for it. I'll come. He'll be way on the end of the park. I didn't even know he was in here the other day. He was way back by the dumpster. And I was just thinking about him. I was smiling to myself. Coming to the back door, and I heard this, "Morning, Pastor!" Glory! Doesn't take a whole lot to make me happy. Jim come in, he was in one of his silly moods. And he was singing with a lisp, "Merry Christmas to you all." And I heard that and I thought, man, that is tremendously funny. I'm going to laugh. No, I didn't have to think about it. I just laughed. I wasn't too religious. See, our religiosity can stop up the joy of God. See, what we obtain in life is but an acquisition, but what we attain is growth. What you come to is your growth. Absolute, perfect, continuous happiness in life is impossible for the human. It's got to come from the well. I'll give you waters, laughing, bubbling, frothing, ever pouring forth rivers of water flowing from your innermost being. And that will make you happy. Happiness, yeah. It's a paradox, I said, but I believe again because it may coexist with trial. You can be happy. It coexists. You're right in a trial, but it coexists with happiness. How can that be? It coexists with sorrow. And poverty. Because it's the gladness of the heart. Rising up, oh yeah, superior to all conditions. Could you be happy standing in line? Yeah. Might as well be. Any situation. It coexists with poverty and when you're not feeling so good, it's still there. Isn't that wonderful? Hey, I'm not just talking off the top of my bald head. I know it to be true because I work it all the time. I do it all the time. God has shown me how to do it. You mean you're happy continuing constantly and always? No, but then when I'm not, I have to remember, hey, my happiness doesn't depend on me. Get that way in a hurry. Whew. Are you hearing this? Whoa, hallelujah. Oh, it's got understudies. Things that look like happiness, gratification, satisfaction, that's a couple of them. Being content, that's another one. And then pleasure. Those are all things we call happy. All, I think they're very, let's say, clever imitators. Gratification for number one. It's sort of like a harmony between our desires and our possessions, a balancing act. It's gratifying, in other words, to get what we desire. Well, I got that. Now I feel, that's gratifying. I got it. Now what are you going to do with it? And what we get isn't it. It's always, it seems, incomplete. So it's an imposter, isn't it? It is the thankful acceptance, but an acceptance of a part. Well, yeah, it's gratifying. That's great. Yeah, that's really good. That's very gratifying that you got A in school today. But it's just a part of it. So it always seems like there's something missing. See, it may be an element in happiness, but in itself, it is not happiness. Gratification. Coming on top of the class, or being top of the pile, or a sales person of the month. You get there, and it's gratifying and everything, but it's only part. There's something missing. What satisfies you today in possessions will bore you tomorrow. I know, I'll redo my apartment. Redo it. Oh, I'm just so sick of it. I'm going to refurbish everything in here. New drapes, new chair, new table, new Davenport, new pictures on the wall, new knickknacks and everything. And oh, again, it's so gratifying and it's so pleasurable. And oh, it looks so nice. And then you sit down and you look at the wall. It's a balancing act between our possessions. It doesn't work, does it?
There you have it. That was episode 327. That was part one to Happy, originally recorded December 18th, 1987. Have a beautiful weekend. We'll see you back here Sunday. God bless you.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung, and may you stay. Oh.
forever young. May your hands always be busy, may your feet always be swift, may you have a strong foundation when the winds of change shift. May your heart always be joyful, may your song always be sung, and may you stay